Welcome back to the Mbaga Media Finance Podcast. Today, we're diving deep into a fascinating shift in the investment landscape, the global repricing. Why developed international equities are back in favor. It feels like for years, the US market has been the undisputed heavyweight champion, drawing in so much capital with its tech innovation and post-2008 recovery.
Absolutely. The US market's gravitational pull was immense, fueled by that incredible dynamism and venture capital ecosystem. It's a story many of us know well. But as you mentioned, narratives can change, and right now, the whispers about a global repricing and a renewed interest in developed international equities are getting louder.
Exactly. And when we talk about developed international equities, it's not just a random collection of stocks. We're looking at established economies in Europe, Japan, Australia, Canada, and beyond. These are markets with mature economies and stable institutions, which sometimes get overshadowed by the Silicon Valley hype.
That's a great clarification. This isn't just a sudden surge, it's a fundamental recalibration. Many investors are questioning if the US market's exceptional performance has priced in too much optimism, potentially creating compelling opportunities elsewhere. It's a strategic reevaluation, moving beyond the fear of missing out on US growth.
This moment is all about understanding the evolving global economic landscape. The forces shaping returns are becoming more complex and, crucially, more geographically diverse. So, to kick things off, let's explore the first major driver, the inflationary tide and divergent monetary policies.
Right. For years, many developed economies, including the US, enjoyed low inflation, which supported accommodative monetary policies and favored growth stocks. But the post-pandemic world brought a significant resurgence of inflation, and critically, its impact and trajectory have varied greatly across different countries.
And this differential inflation has directly led to a divergence in monetary policy. While the US Federal Reserve acted aggressively to tighten policy, other central banks, like the European Central Bank or the Bank of Japan, faced different economic structures and inflation dynamics, charting their own courses.
It's fascinating to consider the interplay here. High inflation compels central banks to raise rates, but the speed and magnitude depend on factors like energy import reliance, labor market structures, and supply chain resilience. For example, Europe's energy dependence meant sharper inflation spikes and potentially quicker rate hikes.
And then you have Japan, with its persistent deflationary pressures, making its central bank far more hesitant to tighten, even as global inflation surged. Analyzing the effectiveness of these varied responses is key. Did the Fed's speed prevent a deeper problem or risk choking growth? Did others preserve momentum at the cost of entrenched inflation?
The key insight is that the era of synchronized monetary policy is over. This policy divergence creates pockets of opportunity because economies are moving through their inflation and interest rate cycles at different paces. It's a significant departure from the past.
This divergence has profound implications for valuations and growth prospects abroad. When the US market was fueled by near-zero rates, its valuations, especially for tech, soared to historic heights, pricing in exceptionalism. Now, as rates normalize, that premium is under scrutiny.
This is precisely where valuation arbitrage becomes so compelling for developed international equities. We're seeing opportunities in markets that were perhaps overlooked during the US market's long dominance. Comparing metrics like PE ratios and dividend yields really highlights this contrast.
Absolutely. While US indices often trade at a premium, many European and Japanese markets present more attractive entry points. This doesn't mean they're without challenges, but it suggests the market might have been too narrowly focused on a few US success stories.
And let's not forget sectoral resilience. Outside the US, certain sectors are showing remarkable strength. Think of European industrial giants navigating the energy transition, or Japan's push for improved corporate governance unlocking value in areas like automotives and healthcare.
Currency fluctuations are always a factor internationally, but with diverging monetary policies, they can become more pronounced. This presents both hedging challenges and opportunities for long-term investors. It really underscores the need to understand these dynamics.
And beyond the numbers, there's the compelling narrative of the quality factor premium. Our international companies, with decades of operational excellence and solid balance sheets, offering a better blend of quality and price than their U.S. counterparts? Many believe so.
The market's assumption of U.S. exceptionalism has created a valuation disconnect. It's not about abandoning the U.S., but recognizing that a global perspective can uncover value that might otherwise be missed. The catalysts for this are becoming increasingly visible, and that leads us to our next point: geopolitical realignment and risk management.
This is a huge driver. The world feels more unpredictable than ever, and events like the pandemic and geopolitical conflicts have exposed the fragilities of over-reliance on single markets or supply chains. International diversification is no longer just about returns, it's a critical risk management strategy.
Exactly. Geopolitical tensions impact global supply chains and investment flows in complex ways. Disrupted trade routes or strained political relationships have profound ripple effects. This has spurred a strategic imperative for de-risking portfolios.
And that leads to concepts like friendshoring, shifting critical supply chains to allied nations. This is reshaping investment geography, favoring regions with stable political environments and strong legal frameworks, precisely the characteristics often found in developed international markets.
It's also about the shift in correlation patterns. While correlations can increase during broad market stress, the specific drivers of a U.S. downturn might not always impact other developed markets equally. A U.S. tech-specific downturn, for instance, might not hit a diversified international portfolio as hard.
That's a crucial point. The stability of political environments and strong legal frameworks in developed nations provide a bedrock of confidence. It mitigates some of the uncertainties we see elsewhere, making diversification a more strategic play for resilience.
So, diversification has evolved. It's not just about chasing higher returns anymore, it's about building a more robust, resilient portfolio that can weather the complexities of today's global landscape. Now, with the strategic case strengthened, how do investors actually operationalize this shift?
That's the practical question, isn't it? The choice of investment vehicle is primary. We can look at ETFs for broad exposure and liquidity, or mutual funds for potentially more active management. Direct stock picking is an option, but that requires significant expertise.
And regardless of the vehicle, thorough due diligence is paramount. We need to examine fund managers' track records, understand their philosophies, and assess their ability to navigate international markets. Don't forget the tax implications and regulatory differences across borders.
Absolutely. Withholding taxes, capital gains, reporting requirements, they all vary and impact net returns. It's integral to effective portfolio construction. Looking at sector-specific opportunities, we see Europe's strength in industrials and renewables, while Japan excels in advanced materials and robotics.
Each region has unique industrial strengths. A thoughtful allocation requires understanding these local specializations. The most crucial element here, though, is adopting a long-term perspective. It's tempting to react to short-term noise, but the fundamental drivers are long-term trends.
The global repricing, policy divergence, and the need for diversification are not fleeting. A well-structured international allocation needs thoughtful selection, understanding local nuances, and patience. This is reshaping capital flows and portfolio construction for years to come.
Moving beyond just valuation, we also need to consider corporate governance, sustainability, and currency dynamics. These factors are increasingly important in how we assess investment quality internationally.
That's right. In many international markets, there's a growing emphasis on shareholder rights and capital discipline, often driven by activist investors and regulatory changes. This focus on governance can unlock significant value that might have been suppressed historically.
And ESG factors are crucial. While the U.S. has made progress, many European companies have been leaders in sustainability for years, often embedding it into their core business strategy. This commitment can translate into greater resilience and a stronger brand reputation.
So, you're finding companies with robust business models, good governance, and a forward-looking approach to sustainability. It's a more holistic view of quality that might not always be prioritized in the US market's focus on rapid growth.
Let's revisit currency. When a currency weakens relative to the US dollar, it can make international assets appear even cheaper to a dollar-based investor. This isn't a guaranteed return booster due to volatility, but it can amplify the valuation advantage.
Conversely, a strong dollar makes international investments more expensive. This is where active currency management or strategic hedging can become a sophisticated tool, allowing investors to capture underlying value while mitigating currency risk.
It's about recognizing the global investment landscape as a dynamic ecosystem. Understanding these moving parts, governance, ESG, currency, is key to navigating it successfully. The story of capital allocation is always evolving.
And right now, it's telling us a compelling tale of a world ripe for broader diversification and a more globally minded approach to investing. It's a significant shift away from that singular focus we've seen for so long.
So, to wrap up our discussion on the global repricing, let's summarize the key takeaways. We've seen how the narrative of US market exceptionalism is being challenged by a global recalibration driven by inflation, divergent monetary policies, and geopolitical shifts.
Absolutely. The key factors we discussed include inflation and monetary policy divergence, which create unique economic cycles and opportunities. This inflation has acted as a catalyst, forcing central banks down different paths and creating opportunities where valuations have lagged.
Then there's valuation arbitrage. Developed international markets, particularly Europe and Japan, often present more attractive PE ratios and dividend yields compared to the US, suggesting a potential undervaluation of solid, established businesses. The premium once reserved for US growth is now being scrutinized.
Geopolitical risk and diversification are also paramount. Increased geopolitical uncertainty elevates the importance of international diversification as a risk management strategy, favoring regions with stable political environments and predictable legal frameworks. This offers a valuable counterpoint to portfolio volatility.
We also highlighted corporate governance and ESG factors. A growing focus on shareholder rights, capital discipline, and sustainability in many international markets can unlock shareholder value and enhance business resilience, offering a more holistic view of quality.
And finally, currency fluctuations and operational nuances. Currency movements can amplify valuation advantages, but they also require careful management. Understanding tax implications, regulatory differences, and sector-specific strengths across regions is key to effective portfolio construction.
Moving on to the strengths and insights derived from this shift. The divergence in monetary policy breaks the mold of synchronized policy, offering potential for alpha generation. Attractive valuations in international markets suggest a potential undervaluation of solid, established businesses.
Diversification is now a strategic imperative for risk management, favoring stable political and legal environments. Furthermore, the focus on shareholder rights and ESG in international markets can unlock value and enhance business resilience, providing a more holistic picture of quality.
The insight here is that the market's long-held assumption of US exceptionalism has created a valuation disconnect. A global perspective can uncover value that might otherwise be missed, and the catalysts for this are becoming increasingly visible.
However, it's not without its challenges. Navigating differing inflation trajectories and monetary policy stances requires sophisticated analysis, and the risk of misinterpreting economic signals is significant. Lower valuations in international markets can sometimes reflect underlying structural issues or slower growth prospects.
Geopolitical events can still create volatility and disrupt supply chains, even in developed markets. The benefits of diversification can diminish if correlations increase significantly during broad market stress. Investors need to be aware of these potential pitfalls.
Implementing ESG strategies and improving corporate governance can be a slower process in some regions, and investors need to distinguish genuine commitment from superficial efforts. This requires deep due diligence. Currency volatility can erode returns if not managed effectively.
Navigating diverse tax laws, reporting requirements, and varying market liquidity demands significant investor expertise and resources. So, while opportunities abound, the challenges require careful planning and execution.
In conclusion, the narrative of U.S. market exceptionalism is being challenged by a global recalibration. The forces of inflation, divergent monetary policies, evolving geopolitical landscapes, and a renewed focus on fundamental value are driving a compelling case for developed international equities.
This isn't about abandoning U.S. markets, but strategically broadening horizons for a more diversified, globally minded approach. The current repricing of the world is not a fleeting trend, but a fundamental evolution in how capital flows and how portfolios should be built.
It's about moving beyond comfortable habits and embracing the richer opportunities that a truly global investment horizon can offer, ensuring resilience and potential for growth in an increasingly complex world. Thanks for joining us today.
Indeed. It's a call to action for investors to truly think globally. Thank you for listening to the Mbago Media Finance Podcast.